Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
What a year it's been for SmackDown in 2018. I'm Ollie Davis, this is The Other One Luke Owen. Welcome to this Boxing Day edition of Wrestle Ramble. That's a thing that we have in the UK, not you guys over in the States, because you didn't really have servants.
No, absolutely.
It's back when everyone had servants in Britain. I've still got one. Yeah. It's called Randy Datson.
He was very good to us on the Christmas episode, apart from when he then sat in and was a charisma vacuum, swore, and then insulted the present that I got him.
Yeah, so real like plunge there in quality when Randy gets on screen. But, you know, Boxing Day, we've got to be thankful for our Randys.
Exactly. We hope you enjoyed your Christmas.
But more, we have to be thankful for SmackDown.
Yes.
Luke has gone through, just as I'll be doing next Tuesday on the New Year's Day edition, where we will do Raw in review, and then the day after that on the 2nd, we'll be back to normal. But you've gone through the year of SmackDown and collated all the things that happened. This is a year in review show.
A week-by-week breakdown of what has happened in SmackDown in 2018. And as a bit of a spoiler, because we've already recorded the Raw episode that you're going to see on New Year's Day. We recorded that yesterday. And in that episode, we talked about how that while Raw has been a mostly bad show for 2018, it's at least had something to talk about. There has been things that have happened. Whereas going back week-by-week on SmackDown, consistently, it's been a 3 out of 5 show, usually very, very good, very nice, but not a lot to talk about in some cases. Sometimes they were just, SmackDown had some matches. In fact, you recorded one of the episodes while I was away, and you literally say in the video, your title of it was Big WWE Star Returns, and it was for Big Cass, who'd only been gone a week.
Yeah.
And you say in the video, I know he's only been gone a week, but there was nothing else to talk about in this episode.
Gotta get them clicks.
So we've gone through week by week. Let's set the way back machine all the way to January 2nd, 2018. And the show was really being built around the teasers of Daniel Bryan teaming with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Oh my God, Bryan started off... That's a good point. I forgot he almost was going to turn heel as an authority figure.
That's right. Well, he was still the GM, and there was this teasing of, is he aligned with them because he was sort of like favoring them in certain things? Setting up that Royal Rumble match of AJ defending his title against Owens and Zayn in a handicap match.
Terrible idea.
Remember
all
of this?
How badly have Owens and Zayn been booked this year?
Oh, mate. Well, wait till we get into it.
Yeah. But that's remarkable. When Bryan turned heel, in my head, I was like, and he's been such a babyface for, you know, ever since he turned good guy all the way back in, like, what, 2012, mm-hmm. with the whole Yes Movement stuff. But no, that's a very good point. He was teetering on the side of being a complete bad guy.
The next week, the title for that video was Daniel Bryan Becoming Unstable.
Yeah.
Look how that's paid off into December, mate, or November, I should say.
I mean, that is not long-term booking. They lucked into that. I remember one of the speculated reasons they were sort of turning Bryan heel was because everyone was scared he was just going to leave WWE when his contract expired. And some people, us included, theorized WWE might turn him heel to kill his babyface momentum for when he left the company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy, isn't it? Also, remember this storyline? American Beta, the team of Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, won the SmackDown Tag Team titles, but a referee came down and said that Chad and one of the Usos were not the legal men, and they reversed the decision, which led to about a 2-week storyline where Gable and Benjamin were asking for the tag titles to be freed.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's also where Chad Gable introduced his new catchphrase of, "Shush!" from Encino Man, or California Man, if you're in the UK.
I forgot Chad Gable was ever a heel.
I know, yeah?
What a forgettable feud.
Oh, talking about forgettable, the Riot Squad were feuding with the Welcoming Committee.
I wish I could forget that. No, I remember the Welcoming Committee. It's one of the worst names ever for a WWE faction.
Mm-hmm.
And just what an uninspiring group. Natalia, Carmella.
And Tamina.
Tamina.
Yeah. What a year Tamina has had. What a 2018 Tamina has had.
Yeah, and that was purely to go up against like a... Wait, so who was the babyface act there?
I think they were both heels.
I forgot Riot Squad were even on SmackDown. Let's move on.
Move on. So yeah, the following week, Daniel Bryan was becoming unstable. We were getting Bludgeon Brothers squash matches. And we started the US title tournament to crown a new champion after Dolph Ziggler vacated it.
That went somewhere.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that. And then the following week, we had like a one-night tournament, essentially, where Bobby Roode won the United States Championship, beating Jinder Mahal in the main event. In the bluest match ever, because Bobby was wearing blue trunks, Jinder was wearing blue trunks, and it was on SmackDown, which is a blue arena. It was the bluest blue you've ever blew.
You could, of course, you've got green screens, but you can also have blue screens.
Yeah, yeah.
Just edit some graphics on everybody's pants there.
January 23rd, absolutely nothing happened on the show. then the Royal Rumble, Nakamura won the Rumble.
That was a big deal. I nearly... Correct. Oh, and Asuka, SmackDown star Asuka, but not
no,
at that
no,
time.
She was a Raw star at that point.
But she would face a SmackDown star.
Yes, well, we'll get to that when she joins the SmackDown brand. January 30th, Kevin and Sammy teased splitting up, which kept going on and on and on. And we started to get the new SmackDown gimmick of words on screen.
Oh my God, that was this year.
That was this year. And it was, oh mate, I mean, I don't want you to look at the screen because I wanted to see the reaction
for
this.
I've seen it.
The Usos lockdown graphic where the bars came across. That was like probably the apex of it. But also on that show, do you know what else was introduced? The SmackDown Live top 10. I was so optimistic about the top 10.
I have no idea why.
I was so optimistic about it. I actually went back and watched my review. I say, like, there are so many things you can spin off from this. Like, character-wise, why certain people voted for certain people. Are some people going to be upset that they were lower than others? Why is, you know, the Usos were lower than New Day? Is that going to affect into anything? It's built to sweet FA, and it was barely brought up again. Because this is when Randy, like, later turns heel, and it was like, oh, did you turn heel because of the SmackDown Live top 10? And he literally said... That doesn't matter. And then they never mentioned it again.
I'm pretty sure Jinder was like trying to sow seeds of dissent between people. Randy back then, by the way, was a babyface.
He was, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, oh, are you annoyed that you're at number seven?
He was ninth.
What a load of bollocks.
It was. I think they did it for 2 weeks and then they never did it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we move into February. Also, Charlotte starts a feud with Ruby Riott.
Most people have.
Yep. So we move into February, and it's announced that the main event of Fastlane is going to be AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. That was announced by Daniel Bryan, again sort of showing these possible heelish tendencies, and the Bludgeon Brothers are still squashing talent. On the February 13th, Dolph Ziggler returned to SmackDown after returning at the Royal Rumble. All of those storylines that he had were just dropped, never mentioned ever again. And he then got into the main event of Fastlane, which had become a fatal five-way at this point, with Baron Corbin added to the mix as well.
But that wouldn't be the only one.
Nope.
This was the multi-man match couple of months of WWE, were just because they didn't know how to book properly. They didn't want to beat anyone, and they didn't want anyone to win either.
Yeah.
So they just booked these 5-6 person matches for main events of Raw, main events of SmackDown, and main events of pay-per-views. So you had about 4 months there of nothing progressing.
Absolutely nothing progressing. February 20th, Kevin and Sammy are then back on the same page. And on the February 26th, Cena returned to SmackDown and the Fastlane main event became the six-pack challenge. And on that show, they teased a WrestleMania match between John Cena and Nakamura. Remember, they had that stare-off and they both pointed at the WrestleMania sign.
Because Nakamura hadn't cashed, like, decided yet.
They assumed he was going to go after the WWE Championship,
yeah.
But we didn't know who the WWE Champion was going to be because AJ was facing off against five other guys. So it could have been John Cena.
See.
And Cena was looking for his WrestleMania match.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a terrific bout later on in the year, Cena and Nakamura, with that botched
exploder. That was last
exploder.
Year.
No.
Because I interviewed John Cena for Ferdinand's.
Well, I take it back then. That built to nothing.
It built to nothing. March 6th, there were only 3 matches on the entire show, and one of them was Becky beating Carmella. Jinder also beat Randy Orton.
Oh, the Carmella days.
Yep, Sammy turned on Kevin Owens the week before Fastlane, and at Fastlane, Randy Orton wins the United States Championship and Asuka jumps to SmackDown. February 13th, Kevin and Sammy are on the same page.
Yeah, the whole Owen-Zayn thing, it was just abysmal.
Oh, it was dreadful,
wasn't
it?
You could never, because I was like genuinely into them as a heel double act. I think everyone was.
Yeah.
But then they just, but it was the same with Owens and Jericho, as great as that partnership was. There was a few really patchy weeks in that four-month run where they'd tease turning on each other for no reason. There was one that worked really, really well, but all the others were just like, but, you know, you're not really a believable threat together.
Yeah.
Because you both lost to AJ Styles at Royal Rumble. How am I meant to believe in you when there's friction?
Yeah, yeah, and they just kept turning on each other and they were back on the same page. And then they moved across to Raw and did the exact same thing where they were on the same page, splitting up. They were this and the other. They also injured Shane McMahon on that show. Remember they did the big beatdown angle, the powerbomb onto the crates backstage? And that's where Shane legit got injured. And there was a concern he might not be able for a WrestleMania. And Chris Jericho was called. And on March 20th, probably the best episode of the year, Daniel Bryan cleared to wrestle. The announcement was made. And he fired Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn from SmackDown.
I don't remember the firing part.
Well, yeah, 'cause the week after, they then announced it was a tag match between Owens and Shane versus... Daniel Bryan and Shane versus Owens and Zayn. And if Owens and Zayn won, they got their jobs back on SmackDown.
Right.
And because they lost, that's why they went to Raw.
It's not really... That match didn't need that stipulation.
No.
No. I mean, I think about the Daniel Bryan returning episode. Just an incredible thing. One of the most... you've got at one end of the spectrum, Reigns' leukemia, which is just awful. But at the other end of the spectrum, also, you never really... I thought it would ever happen. Bryan... back in a WWE ring.
Oh man, I gave that episode a smack damn.
But yeah, I just have no recollection of Owens and Zayn getting fired.
Yep, and then that leads us into April, where Carmella teased cashing in Money in the Bank just before WrestleMania, and
she'd had it for ages. Yeah,
yeah, check this out for a match to build you up for WrestleMania. Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Primo, and Mojo Rawley defeated Zack Ryder, Ty Dillinger, and Breezango.
Wow, the go-home episode.
Yeah, that was to obviously hype the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which they were all in.
Yeah, a big-time match, that.
Baron Corbin challenging for the WWE Championship at Fastlane, here teaming with Primo.
He's had an interesting year, Corbin.
Yes, he did. Also on that show, AJ Nakamura teamed up to take on Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Who was still a thing, okay.
Who was still a thing by that point, right. Yeah. At WrestleMania, Jinder won the US title, the Bludgeon Brothers won the tag team titles, Asuka gets beaten, and Nakamura turned heel.
Which was one of the... although they didn't really follow it up for the rest of the year, I think that's one of the best heel turns.
Yeah.
In recent times.
Yeah, great stuff. April 10th, so it's the 2 days after WrestleMania, Paige was announced as the new general manager, and the Iconics debuted, beating up Charlotte Flair, inserting themselves right into the main event scene of the SmackDown Women's Division, and Carmella cashed in Money in the Bank to win the SmackDown Live Women's Championship.
That is a big lady episode.
Yep.
Not like a big woman thing, but you know, Paige had retired the previous night on Raw, and here she is, and she was a great general manager. It's a shame that she's a casualty of the new era. I'm not it's a shame, but I also don't want general managers.
But we got them in the McMahons.
Yeah. the Iconics, that feels like forever ago.
Oh, mate, going through, looking at the results, we'll get to it a little bit later on, but it is very rare to see them win on SmackDown. If they're featured at all, and they're usually just losing. They quickly became comedy jobbers. Also, the following week, we had the Superstar Shake-Up and NXT call-ups, including Sanity and Andrade Cien Almas. So remember that. April 17th is when Sanity were announced to be called up to the main roster. Just remember that date. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose got drafted, as did The Bard, Samoa Joe, The Miz, Gallanderson, and Truth. And Big Cass returned to attack Daniel Bryan in the main event of that show.
Big Cass had been out for about 9 months with an ACL tear.
Yeah, it was after SummerSlam last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the whole Enzo and Big Show thing.
And then the following week, the Iconics beat Asuka. They pinned Becky Lynch, but Asuka lost the match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and
it was a tag match. Right. Yeah. The club reunited. So AJ and Gallanderson reunited to take on Rusev Day and Shinsuke Nakamura.
I remember that because Carl Anderson pushed AJ out the way to take the Kinshasa from Nakamura. A great spot. Anderson was ridden off TV. He wasn't properly injured, but the next week he was like, Anderson's still recovering from that attack. But then he never came back.
No, they never came back. So that was a one-week deal, like they did with Raw, where they teamed with Finn Balor. They just, for one night only, the club got back together. And we were talking about on that show, Daniel Bryan losing momentum because of this big Cass feud. Yeah. May 1st, we're now into May, Lana returns.
Was she gone?
Well, she was on TV. Right. But this is where she joins, quote-unquote, Rusev Day, and they become the three-man unit.
Because she was a separate thing with Tamina for a while.
That's right, yes.
Wow.
So they start teasing them as a three... They debut them as a three-man team, and on that same show, tease them splitting up.
Mm.
So it was teasing the Rusev Day split in May, and it's the show where Big Cass beat up Daniel Bryan, in air quotes, which, of course, was the little person dressed up as Daniel Bryan. An angle... That reportedly was one of the reasons why he got fired.
Yeah, he was only meant to do one move on the little person, but he did more moves against the Express. Like, it's not like, oh, they never told me to. He went to them with that idea backstage, and Vince McMahon himself said, no,
just one move. Yeah.
We don't want to be seen as, you know, a nasty promotion.
Samoa Joe also challenged the winner of AJ versus Nakamura, that backlash, an angle that went nowhere.
Mm.
Angle that went nowhere.
No long-term booking, that came around eventually.
And the New Day started a feud with The Bar in May.
Still going.
It's still going. Backlash absolutely sucked. Bryan beat Big Cass. And then the following week, they basically pretend like he didn't. Because in the main event of the May 8th show, he loses to Rusev in the Money in the Bank. And the commentators talk about how the glass slipper has shattered for this Cinderella story. I'm like, mate, he beat Big Cass clean 2 days previously. He's fine.
And this is a month after he comes back. This is a month after Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania in-ring return.
And they're always talking about, the Cinderella story's over. He lost one match.
Like, just look at some of those things. Rusev Day, organically over. They don't push them. Because we didn't even mention the Fastlane one where they should have won the tag belts.
Was that that show, was it?
I'm pretty sure. And they didn't. So like they could have gone with that. Everybody was...
Fastlane or Backlash?
Fastlane. Everyone was really... Or it was maybe a SmackDown before Fastlane. Everyone was really in to AJ Styles and the club.
Yeah.
One week thing. Like, why the people are ready to cheer for them. And the Bryan return. And within a month, you're doing like, he's really... lost his way here storylines. That's you do that a year after he returns.
I'm pretty sure the Rusev Day thing was last year because at Fastlane, Nakamura beats Rusev in a singles match.
Well, it might have been a SmackDown episode. I think it was. Because Rusev Day only were a thing late 2017.
Yes, and they also become the number one contenders to the tag titles later on in this story. So where are we? May 8th, we've just done that. May 15th was set in London, and that is when Andrade Cien Almas debuted. 1 month after being announced that he was joining SmackDown, he debuted in London, defeating a local enhancement talent, and Nakamura defeated AJ Styles with a clean finish to set up their pay-per-view match.
But... Great entrance music.
Great entrance music.
And Nakamura's heel work.
Yeah.
Like, because this was before Nakamura just started losing all the time.
Yep.
And it was like, this is the... You've struck gold, WWE. This entrance. Nakamura's promos were... I don't speak English. Fantastic
Great
work.
Great stuff. May 22nd, Lana defeated Billy Kay. So if you want to see how far their star has fallen since coming up to the main roster a month later. And Almas had another squash. So that whole episode, the only notes I could give for you were... Lana beat Billy Kay and Almas had a squash match. May 29th, this is where you said that Big Cass returned from injury because, quote, I struggle to think of a title for this video. And Lana and Naomi started a feud based on dancing.
Mm.
So that's 2 whole weeks there of not a lot happening.
No.
Nope. June 5th, Carl Anderson pinned Harper. These are the only notes I could find for these shows.
Because Bludgeon Brothers were...
In a feud.
They were a thing.
Yeah, the Bludgeon Brothers won the tag titles at WrestleMania and started a feud with Gil Anderson in June. And Carl Anderson pinned Harper on TV.
Yeah.
June 12th, Miz debuts the idea of Rough Rough Ref.
I remember that. That's it. That was funny. Miz's comedy work this year has been very, very good.
It was a bizarre segment, though. I went back to watch the review for this. Miz is in a special guest referee because he wants to be the special guest referee for a match for the Money in the Bank because he wants to screw both of them. He explicitly says, like, he doesn't say it in so many words, but the whole idea is I want to screw them. But yeah, I'm in this ref out because I want to try and my hand. The storyline is I'm going to be a referee in this new movie, Rough Rough Ref. Paige sees through this. and then makes him the special guest referee for the match. Like, what are you doing?
That's why she was removed. She didn't know what she was doing. Grossly underqualified for the job.
Absolutely. Jeff Hardy returned. And the main event was Asuka, Lana, Naomi, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte defeating Carmella, Iconics, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. This was the go-home for Money in the Bank, where all of the SmackDown women hugged each other, including Lana and Naomi, who were feuding just a week previous.
In the Raw one, which is going to go up next week, we kept on seeing recurring things that happened, and that was Braun Strowman squashing the entire tag division in Battle Royals to determine the number one contender for the Tag Team Championships. I think SmackDown, I think Jeff Hardy returned to SmackDown about 8 times this year.
I know. Dig it all.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
At Money in the Bank, James Ellsworth returned to SmackDown and Carmella beat Asuka. June 19th, Keith Apicary is teased to join WrestleTalk.
Hey!
And here's one I completely forgot. Rusev became the number one contender to AJ Styles' WWE Championship.
Where did that go?
At Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Did they have a match?
They did, yeah.
Was it good?
I have no idea. I can't remember it at all. And June 19th.
Wow.
Sanity debut. 2 months it took them to debut. And they just came out and attacked someone. The following week, they lose. Mm. They lost their first match on SmackDown. You had 2 months to work out what you were doing, and the first thing you had them do was lose to the Usos and Jeff Hardy.
Well, the reports were they knew what they were going to do. There was going to be a tag team Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yep, that's why AOP were called up.
But then it was dropped.
Yep.
So they didn't know what they were doing anymore. And but yeah, you still had 2 months.
You had 2 months to work something else out.
I mean, like, I can come up with something better in an hour.
Yeah, it's so funny as well because they just had a graphic on screen saying like Sanity debut in a tag team match against the Usos, and we were like, these are meant to be uncontrollable chaos. Mm. All of these promos, we're bringing chaos. We're announced for a tag team match that then doesn't happen.
Those promos were very good.
Very good. Yeah. They just played them a lot and then just stopped playing them. You've noticed
at least they weren't lurking.
You'll have noticed that Andrade Cien Almas has not been mentioned in a while either. June 26th, Sanity lose their match. Kane returns to SmackDown to reform Team Hell No. And Almas cuts a backstage promo. It's at this point he's been on the main roster for 11 weeks, has had 2 squash matches and nothing else. Man alive. This guy back in January had probably the best WWE match, if you include NXT within that, of the whole year. And here he is doing absolutely nothing.
The Kane return, the whole Team Hell No thing.
Great stuff.
Was very, very good. It was exactly what Daniel Bryan needed after a stalling start from his return. This wonderful bit of nostalgia. and they went over. Who did they even feud with? It was the Bludgeon Brothers,
right? The
Bludgeon
Brothers, yeah, for the tag titles, because Kane was injured and he couldn't really do anything. He was wearing that big boot to protect his ankle. And also at this point, Becky starts tapping out everyone. They started doing the storyline like Becky was using the disarmer to tap out people, and they were pushing this story. I kept pointing this out, and everyone told me I was an idiot for pointing it out, that they're telling the story that Becky is gaining momentum and will soon be challenging for the Women's Championship. Yeah. And everyone just kept saying, oh, she's not going to get a push.
Well, I think that's because we could all see that's what was happening, but we had no confidence it was going to pay off.
The July 3rd, absolutely nothing happened. We struggled to come up with the title. We came up with Nakamura Return Confirmed, because that was when he got bitten by a dog.
And was out with an injury.
So he was missing for a couple of weeks. And we were like, and then he announced he was going to have a match like next week. And we were like, oh, cool, that's our title, then. Nakamura Return Confirmed.
It sounds like such a childish excuse for not coming into work.
Yeah.
But that's legit what happened.
My match was eaten by a dog.
Yeah, a racist police search dog bit him backstage.
Yeah.
In a routine search of the building.
Yep. The July 10th show, Sanity lose again, this time beaten by Team Hell No. Almas returned for a match, had a match against Sin Cara. AJ Nakamura had another match. And Asuka defeated James Ellsworth.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. The Almas Sin Cara stuff was actually building to become a storyline. And I like Sin Cara as well. Yeah. I think he's a very good... The Hunico, you know, this for Sin Cara number two, DOS. Like, he's really good. And they had a good thing going there, but Sin Cara got injured the week after this feud started. Not as if they were going to do anything with it anyway.
Yeah. Well, we find out what Almas' next feud will be very, very soon. I mean, we say his next feud, his one and only feud that he's actually had since coming up to the main roster. At Extreme Rules, Randy Orton returned as a heel, and Carmella beat Asuka again. Nakamura wins the United States Championship. He won it in July. July he won that belt.
Yeah, so he beat up Jeff, and but Randy didn't cost him the match. Randy returned after the match and beat up Jeff,
Yeah. And then the following week, Randy Orton beat up Jeff Hardy with the poke through the finger to complete his heel turn.
The poke through the ear.
What did I say? Poke through the finger. Through the finger. Sorry, you're absolutely right. Poke through the ear. And we also
Which was a great spot.
It was a great spot. Yeah. We also had the AJ versus Almas match, where Almas lost but was like made to look really good in defeat. A match that I called a star-making performance. Because I thought to myself, finally, he's going to be put into the main event scene. What a fool I was, and an absolute fool I was.
Yeah. Almas, backstage they were going like, what the reports were, everyone's really high on him, he's really impressed the higher-ups. Not enough, it seems.
Absolutely not enough. The following week, July 24th, James Ellsworth gets fired, and the Bar return to start a feud with the New Day and the Usos.
Where were the Bar?
They just went on TV.
Oh, yeah, they just disappeared for a few weeks. About a month.
Yeah, and Bryan starts his feud with The Miz. So it's leading to SummerSlam. July 31st, Zelina Vega defeated Lana.
Yes, so they saw Andrade and they thought, after that big match with AJ, the money's in his non-wrestling manager.
Who's about 4'2" in heels.
And we can get them in mixed tags because Lana is also a non-wrestling manager, really, who also has a man wrestler. And that just writes itself,
absolutely,
doesn't it?
Yes.
That's definitely the best use of everyone's talents there.
It led to a kickoff show match at SummerSlam.
Memorable.
Mixed tag. Joe challenged AJ for SummerSlam and the Bar defeated the Usos. August 7th, teases of a Becky Lynch heel turn begin. And I was criticized by our editor for saying, like, you're an idiot. Charlotte Flair's clearly turning heel at SummerSlam. It's Charlotte's got to turn heel. And I was like, I'm telling you now, Becky is turning heel at SummerSlam. All the teasers are being set up here. Zelina Vega defeated Lana again. Sorry, I didn't repeat myself. That was 2 weeks in a row she beat her. And the New Day defeated the Bar.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. These three teams are brilliant, and I love watching them have matches. But all of 2018 has just been these three teams having matches with each other.
I think as great as SmackDown has been, well, relatively, as relatively great as SmackDown has been compared to Raw, and when it's good, it's really, really good. But there are like several month periods where it's like the chase scenes in Scooby-Doo. I recognize that thing. Yep. It's just the same background going back and forth.
Picture frame, yeah.
But you don't necessarily focus on the same stuff happening in the background because there's at least one decent feud that you're watching chase after each other.
You're watching Daphne.
Yeah. Love Daphne.
So August 14th, Samoa Joe reads a letter to hype SummerSlam. Remember, that was the big hot go home angle for SummerSlam, was Joe reading a letter, which you and I made a lot of fun of, and people were very negative toward us for making fun of that letter reading.
Yeah, well, this was when SmackDown were booking things out of order, and they'd start up, they'd put your big go home angle in the middle of the build,
or right at the start.
Yeah. And then Peter out.
Yeah, absolutely Peter out. What a nice guy. Sanity lose again on that show. SummerSlam, wow. Miz defeated Daniel Bryan, and Becky turned heel.
Heel.
August 21st, the New Day won the tag team titles because the Bludgeon Brothers got injured.
Yes, of course. And props to Eric Rowan. He wrestled a couple of matches and dropped the title, and even did the rematch the following night on SmackDown. No, yep. That was where they... It was on SmackDown,
where SmackDown,
they?
Where they won the belts, yeah.
Because they... Yeah, they wrestled the match where he got injured at SummerSlam. And he still wrestled in a pretty physical match as well. He was throwing himself around.
Absolutely. Credit to him, absolutely.
It's like an elbow injury, I think.
Yeah, Brie Bella is still around. Becky cuts the now infamous You People promo. I wasn't around for these shows because I was on holiday. And it was also the show where we debuted Ooh, Wendy.
Yeah, which is exactly the inflection that it was originally delivered in.
Absolutely.
Ooh, Wendy!
August 28th, King Booker returned for a segment with the New Day. Because they were five-time tag team champions.
Yes, that was cute. Yeah, that was cute. Funny.
And it was also the only thing that happened on that show.
It was just that the rest of it was just the SmackDown graphic looping.
Scooby-Doo running past. Yeah. September 4th, Daniel Bryan defeated Andrade Cien Almas. Another great match for Almas that led to nothing. And that set up Bryan and Brie versus Miz and Maryse.
Ah, they could have had Almas and Zelina Vega in there.
It was right there for the taking. They just kept missing
it. Missed it.
Also, Peyton Royce lost again on this show. At this point, she's only won one match, one singles match scene being called up, and the Iconics have won about two or three matches all told.
Not a great year for NXT call-ups.
No. September 11th, Samoa Joe reads a bedtime story called Night Night AJ.
Mm-hmm. I think you missed Super Showdown in all this fun.
I might have done.
That's because Super Showdown was... No, that was October. Oh, I don't know. This is the... Just assume there was a pay-per-view every other week.
I think it was in October. Yeah. Asuka started teaming with Naomi with that classic comedy segment that made me swear on the Wrestle Ramble. Brie Bella defeated Maryse in the main event of that show.
Oh, God.
By a DQ, granted, but still, that was the main event of SmackDown, was Brie Bella versus Maryse.
We haven't talked about how botched the Bryan Miz feud was, where they just decided to immediately bring in
the
Brie
wives.
And Maryse as...
But it was done to promote Miz and Mrs., really. I think that was pretty much the reason it was done. It was done to artificially extend the feud, but also like Miz and Mrs. had their show out, so they wanted to promote that. Also, Mella started teaming with R-Truth.
After a series of very funny backstage skits.
Yeah, she just ran... In the way I called it, she just gindered herself. She was a SmackDown champion... And then became a comedy jobber.
Because, I mean, this storyline goes back to before SummerSlam, where R-Truth would say that he needs to beat Carmella to get a United States title shot.
Yeah,
because everyone was beating Carmella to get the SummerSlam
match. That's what set up that SummerSlam match. Becky beat her and Charlotte beat her. Way to put over your champ, guys.
And R-Truth pointed out how ridiculous this booking is. And openly mocked it. And it was a great... And the brilliant payoff was, at the end of all of it, he revealed it was a master plan with Ty Dillinger. And he's like, or maybe I was doing that all along.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a bit like a real meta moment. Like, you know, seen the movie Jack Frost with Michael Keaton?
Not recently.
Well, there was a moment during that where he's like walking down the street. He's been turned into a snowman. He's called Jack Frost. And he's been turned into a snowman. And he's kind of talking to himself, being like, why a snowman? Is it because I'm called Jack Frost? I mean, that's stupid. That's really uncreative. It's like a real meta moment for the writer to be like, God, I'm lame. I'm writing really lame stuff here. At Hell in a Cell, Becky won the SmackDown Women's Championship in a great match.
Yes.
And Miz and Maryse beat Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella with a real botched finish. And AJ beat Samoa Joe, but he tapped out while pinning Joe.
And that never went anywhere.
It never went anywhere. They went right back to the Wendy stuff.
And that was such a good finish.
A much more interesting story in that feud. But they went right back to the Wendy stuff like a week later. Such a shame. September 18th, Aiden English turned heel and broke up Rusev Day. What were you thinking?
So that was a really great 3 weeks of soap opera storylines. Yes, it was a really hot angle.
Because we got the Lana cheating scandal announced the following week on September 25th, and that's also the episode where Joe invaded AJ's house.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the Rusev Day stuff just did not. It's got, like, Rusev, I wouldn't say he's any more over afterwards. If anything, he's probably less over, and Aiden English has just disappeared.
Absolutely.
So, like, when you split up a team, both guys should come out more over, or at least one guy should be really over. I'm thinking Shawn Michaels, Jannetty kind of split. But that's not what happened here. You split up a very over act and ended up with less of a sum of the parts. Yeah. So,
very bad stuff. Yeah, Joe invaded AJ's house. The following week on that episode, Paige called it the worst thing that's ever happened in WWE, like the most dastardly thing that's ever happened, and then announced all he did was ring the doorbell and the police arrived. It's like, yeah. How is that the most dastardly thing? Only a couple of years ago, Triple H broke into Randy Orton's house and scared his wife, and he was the babyface in that scenario. Come on, guys.
Kevin Owens headbutted Vince McMahon last summer.
Oh, no. Joe playing Knock Knock Ginger. That was the real.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the real dastardly thing. And Aiden English played the first part of One Night in Milwaukee on that October 2nd show. And they're still pushing Lynch as a heel at this point. October 16th with the SmackDown 1000 show, with The Bar winning the tag team titles with the help of The Big Show,
oh,
where they formed their new faction.
Talk about things being dropped.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio returned, and they teased Dave Bautista versus Triple H at WrestleMania,
which is one of the all-time great angles of this year.
Yep.
That was such a good segment. Batista's always been great at promos and stuff like that, and I feel like this one was even better because he's got, you know, like 6 years now of extreme Hollywood acting.
Yep.
So he can really sell the emotion of that on camera. With the camera picking up all the little minute details of facial expressions.
By the way, if you were wondering what happened to the Lana cheating scandal, Aiden English played the second part of it, but then Rusev and Lana revealed, oh, we've just got the footage, we're just going to play it now. And they played it, and that was it. And it was revealed that there was no cheating scandal whatsoever.
Because that's, one of them hacked them.
Yeah.
They didn't even make a joke about a Russian hacking thing.
No. Just dropped that storyline, and then Rusev beat Aiden English in about 30 seconds twice.
The curious thing about The Bar and The Big Show is that was never even explained.
No, it was not.
They never explained why it had happened.
I think just to set up a six-man feud with New Day.
But that never happened, did it?
Yeah, they did. They were feuding with the New Day.
Oh.
Over the belt. Of course, who else were they going to feud with on this show? Come on. October 23rd, we started getting the build for AJ versus Bryan, because that's when Super Showdown happened, because Bryan beat The Miz in like 10 seconds or whatever it was. And Randy Orton defeated Jeff Hardy in the main event, bearing in mind that Jeff Hardy had been so brutalized at Hell in a Cell that we hadn't seen him for weeks. He was just, you know, just walking around. He's fine.
That was a boring show.
October 31st, Shane McMahon threatened to fire the loser of the World Cup to determine the best in the world. Not the people who lose the other matches, but the winner, like the person in the final, if they lose, they're the ones who are going to get fired.
Yeah. So you'd fire your best guy.
The better one.
This blind sibling rivalry is clouding. Oh, my
made
God.
No sense.
And that, like, it made less sense by the time the tournament was over.
And the main event of that show was Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio defeating The Miz and Randy Orton. Talk about like a 2005 main event. Good crikey.
The week after Orton and Hardy.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to sound like I'm being negative, because I genuinely overall enjoyed SmackDown this year. But there were certain times where I was like, guys, look at this talent that you've got. Why are we relying on all of these old-timers putting on the same matches we've been watching for the last 10 years.
It's old-timers with old-timers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
That's
You're
the
not
problem
mixing
with
it up with new guys.
So when people say, like, oh, you're so negative, I'm like, no, I just want better from this show. It's not that hard. We move into November, where we've got Crown Jewel, and Shane won the World Cup to determine the best in the world after not actually being in the tournament. Yep, that's what happened. And on November 6th, Nikki Cross had a match with Becky Lynch that was taped in Manchester. That was the only thing that happened on that show. November 13th, Becky got her face broken the previous night on Raw, and Daniel Bryan turned heel and won the WWE Championship.
Hell of a show. You kind of missed off Evolution in all this with the Crown Jewel furore.
Yes,
because
Evolution
was, after that, the very next night, that was kind of when Lynch was
a babyface,
framed as a babyface rather than the announcers saying.
Yeah.
And that's a really important moment in 2018. Not just for Becky's character, but I think that was the start of the McMahons going, oh, okay, we're going to listen to people.
Actually, as well, I should have mentioned Evolution, because that the Becky versus Charlotte match is arguably probably like the best main roster match, or at least in the top fives in the conversation.
Yeah, definitely top five, yeah.
That TLC match they had is also in contention for that. What a great year Becky has had, at least the second half of it anyway. November 13th, we've got
what
Daniel
a great 4 months Becky has had.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan won the WWE Championship. And then at Survivor Series, SmackDown lost...
And turned heel.
And turned heel, yeah. At Survivor Series, SmackDown lost all of their matches. And Shane promises big changes are coming the following episode of SmackDown. Mm. The following episode of SmackDown, no change comes. The Survivor Series loss is never mentioned. But New Day put over that they won on the pre-show. The pre-show match that was meant to be forgotten about. But New Day, not going to let you forget about that. But the terms clean sweep were never mentioned. Shane saying big changes... never happened. No shakeup happened. In fact, they just started teasing a tag team with The Miz. A storyline that is still going on.
They were saving it for after TLC, obviously. That was the big change. It's the new era.
Some people said on Twitter, it's like, he never said when the change was going to come. He just said, a change will come. Charlotte also became the new Becky Lynch on this show because she beat up Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series and then came out, beat up both Iconics, one after the other, and cut a Becky Lynch promo.
Yes.
It was watching that show was remarkable because it was like, man, people really like that Becky Lynch. What do they like about her? Well, let's jot all those ideas and we'll just move that across to Charlotte and then people will really cheer her.
I don't know how WWE should. This is day one in fiction writing classes.
Yeah.
You make distinct characters. You can't just transfer all the character elements to someone else.
To the one you like.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And Daniel Bryan also revealed his new character, that he is a vegan.
The Yes Movement is dead.
Absolutely. November 27th, nothing happened apart from Nakamura getting a feud with Rusev. November 27th was when Nakamura got his first feud since winning the title back in July.
To be fair, though, that was actually a feud that had stalled earlier on.
It started in February.
Yep, and there was a Crown Jewel match on the pre-show.
Oh, yeah, there
the
was.
Two.
I forgot about that. You're right.
And then they just dropped all that again.
Yeah. Nakamura won by cheating as well. He low-blowed Rusev. Mm. You'd have thought that would have built to something.
Well, it did a month later.
It did, yeah. You see, it's long-term storytelling. Gargano and Ciampa on the main roster.
On Raw? Oh, they're stupid. They don't think about anything. On SmackDown, they're subtle.
We move into December. Jey Uso defeated Xavier Woods and Cesaro. That feud is still going on. Mm. And Randy Orton defeated Jeff Hardy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
The amount of times we've said that match. Good Lord.
Jeff Hardy also returned on this show.
Bear in mind as well, I think they might have had a match at Crown Jewel. Yeah. December 11th, Mustafa Ali debuted for 205 Live, and Shane and Miz continue to team and continue that team. And December 18th, the new era began. In the main event, Mustafa Ali pinned the WWE champion Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Craziness.
And Becky lost the title the night before.
Yes.
Or 2 nights before.
That's right, yes. And on December 25th, the show you'll have seen yesterday, if you did watch it, Rusev won the United States Championship. So, I mean, if we had glasses, we would raise a toast to Nakamura's incredible United States Championship win. How many days? Let's have a mind. How many days did he have the belt? And he didn't have a pay-per-view match, apart from Crown Jewel.
The pre-show, whatever that was. Yeah, it's... So thinking about this, when we did the Raw show, which again is live next Tuesday, it was infuriating how much Raw dropped.
Yeah,
like how the inconsistent characters and storylines and false starts. But looking over SmackDown, it feels more like that as enjoyable week to week as the show was. Zooming out and looking at the year as a whole, it was actually quite boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, remarkable.
Interesting.
Yeah, Nakamura had the belt for 156 days. They had 156 days to work out what they were going to do, and they did. Sweet FA.
Well, the money was in the Hardy Orton storyline there.
Exactly, yeah. And I've got to agree with you, I think. I've enjoyed SmackDown as a whole week to week, but yeah, as soon as you take a step back, you're like, good Lord, some weeks just nothing happened. Mm. The amount of times we have come into the office on Wednesday and be like, I do not know. We've got to think of two titles for SmackDown reviews as well, because we've got to have the 4-minute review and the Wrestle Ramble. And there are times like, I have no idea. What can we talk about? Because they're fine shows. It's a good show, but there's nought to talk about.
The amount of times you suggested, where's Sanity? It was every week. I was like, we can't. We've done that one.
But where were they? Yeah, it took them 2 months to debut, and then they just lost over and over again.
Well, overall, I think I would give SmackDown 2018 a smack bang in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely. A perfectly fine 3 out of 5. It was fine.
2.5 out of 5. Like, it's really in the middle.
It really is in the middle. Yeah. It is literally my catchphrase of, it was fine. There was a comment yesterday on the NXT review, yesterday being when we're recording this, it had been a week ago for anyone watching this, that said, the problem with Luke is that everything is either the best or it's the absolute worst. There's never anything in the middle for him. I'm like, mate, literally my catchphrase, it was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
We never went through that. That was the ultimate deletion.
It was fine.
That was this year and more.
It was.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.